The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Yeshaya Yaffe, Rosh Chabur Beis Medrash Gevaya, and Mechaber Sefer Shevilei Tzion, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Gemara in Ksuvah, Staf Lamed Heyem and Beis, brings a whole slew of cases, Arayas, Shnias, Islandes, Mema'enes, that ain't lan knas v'loy pitoy. Being that the theme of the whole parak is Einus and Mefata and the knas that they pay, there are numerous scenarios that the Gemara lists over here which do not have knas and pitoy. Let's discuss a couple of points about that the Gemara says, Hamema'enes, ain't lan loy knas v'loy pitoy. We'll begin with the bottom Taisus' question, that he wants to know, since the Gemara says nearby and Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph that we're talking about a Naira, so why do we have to say ain lan knas v'loy pitoy? Pitoy is quite obvious that they won't have. Because if we're talking about a Naira, which means a legal adult, then of course by Mefuta there's not going to be any reason to pay, because she gave her consent and she was willing. So why do we have to say ain lan knas v'loy pitoy? Taisus' answer is that you have to say that it's Lav Dafka, it's just Agav the rest of them. The question is, why did Taisus only ask this question preceding the fact that the Gemara says later that we're talking about a Naira? It's quite apparent from Taisus that had we been talking about a Ktana, Taisus would have been pleased if we would say that Abba Ma'enes Ktana Ein Lehen Pitui. Why is that? So the Marsha and others answer, because a Ktana can't be Michael. And therefore it would have been great, even though she's a Ktana and she gave consent, but it's quite insignificant because a Ktana can't be Michael. The concept that a Ktana can't be Moichel is found in many places. For example, places later on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Ramaskal Ktana says it explicitly. And moreover, there's a Taisus in the beginning of the second fourth parak here on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph on top that actually says it with regard to what we're discussing in Mefuta. That since she's a Ktana, she can't be Moichel. So we see that a Ktana can't be Moichel, and therefore, only because we're talking about a Naira, does Pita, Taisus says, has to be insignificant. Had we been talking about a Naira, Taisus would have been pleased. That's what the Marsha says, and so do others. The question, however, is that there's a Gemara in Gittin on Beis Amud Beis, Amud Aleph, I should say, a famous Gemara that says that a Pu'uta is Mekhan Mekach Memkar and Memkar, which means that Pu'utais, even though they're still Ktanim, but still, since they have a certain element of Das, they are able to make sales and so on and so forth. Now, if that's the case, then they should be able to be Michael. And that's what it sounds like from the places we mentioned on Daf Kuf Zayin. So therefore, even if we would be talking about Ktanis, there should have been a differentiation between what type of Ktana we're talking about. Why does it seem from Taisus that only because we're talking about a Naira is Pitei Lav Davka? There could be scenarios of Ktana as well, where Pitei shouldn't apply, or should apply, I should say, and therefore it wouldn't have to be excluded by Mema'enes, because old Pitei wouldn't be Chayev, because she gave consent. That being said, the Ktzoyt HaChayshin in Simen Peiches says that the din of Pu'utei Mekhan Mekach Memkar and Memkar is only Kdei Chiyusin, because they wouldn't be able to manage otherwise. But in other scenarios, for example, obviously Mefuta maybe, we would leave it in the old status that Ektana doesn't have Mechila. So that definitely would work over here. However, the Mashal clearly doesn't say that, because he says we're talking about that Matanosan Eina Matana. And therefore he seems to be talking about Ktanas that can't give a Matana. So the Rashash and Daf Mem Beis on that Taisus says that Taisus only means to differentiate between Ktanas and a Naira. He means a Ktana before Pu'utais. And when the Rashash says that, he obviously has to conclude and say that yes, even though she's not yet at the age of Pu'utais, and hence her Pita would be insignificant, it wouldn't be a real Mechila, however, she still is able to do Mian at that young age. Like we see in the Gemara, that Tzror V'Zarka Eviz V'Naitloi is enough to be able to do Mian. However, that is not such a simple thing. In fact, the Rashba over here asks the same question as Taisus without preceding the Gemara on the Lamed Vav. The Rashba just asks, what's going on with the Ktanis? And he assumes that younger than Pu'utais, you wouldn't be able to do Mian, and therefore we must be talking about older than Pu'utais. And he asks the same question, and therefore says that it's Lav Dafka without the Gemara on the Lamed Vav. Obviously, the Rashba and the Chidushim is not the same Rashba that Taisus is quoting. There is an alternative method to this whole idea, and that can be found in the Chiddush HaRitzvah. He says that the reason why Pitoy is different over here is because Pitoy Ktana Oynesu, which means that as long as we're not talking about a Naira, we're talking about a Ktana, even if perhaps Mechila would apply, but there would still be a rule of Pitoy Ktana Oynesu. There's a few interesting things to ponder about this, and perhaps that's why the Marshal didn't go with it. First of all, it's not so clear that Pitik Tana Oynesu dictates that every single time that a Tana gave consent and was willing, it has the din of an Oynes. Perhaps it's only with regard to the din of Eishes Yisrael Shenensa, that we say that even if Eishes Yisrael Tana was Nispata, in other words, her father married her off, and then she was convinced and agreed, she still wouldn't be usher on her husband. Not necessarily do we say that her Pitoy is considered an Oynes with all regards. This brings us to a more important fundamental question, which perhaps we'll get to and elaborate more on at a different date, whether the din of Pitik Tana Oynesu, or more importantly on the flip side, the din that a Ktana can't be Meichel or can be Meichel in our scenario, is the question about forgiving the payment for this act, or is the question the forgiving of the act itself? Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is the concept of krak susi. And this is discussed here and there by Tosfos and the Ran, all around these blatter, as well as the Ktosfos HaChoshen and Siman Reish Mem Vav, and in Siman Tav Chaf Dalet. In other words, if I tell you, rip my shirt, and you won't have to pay, does that mean that I am forgiving you for the payment of the hezek that you're doing? Or does that mean that I am actually detonating the whole mitzvah hezek altogether? And similarly, we have to clear this question with regard to pitui. Is the pitui mean that it's a forgiveness on the payment of knas for this act? Or is it more than that, it's actually consent, and therefore removes the whole idea of forcefulness and of against her willness in the action, and therefore it is not a maisa against her will altogether? And the question perhaps is whether or not mechila helps on a knas before it happened, and whether or not a ktana has the license to be meichel money, or even if she doesn't have the license to be meichel money, like it would seem in all areas, maybe she would still have the license to say, yeah, you could do this, and it wouldn't be a maisa that would be mechayev the knas. Even if she doesn't have the power at that young age to be meichel the money, she might be able to detonate the maisa from being a maisa that's mechayev the money. And the nafkamina could be in a few different scenarios. For example, if the father is supposed to get the money by a naira, and so on and so forth. The Shaila Meshev in Madura Kama Chelik Beis Siman Kuf Gimel elaborates about a lot of the things that we have discussed. And of course, I just wanted to mention an abridged discussion about all this. I would like to discuss just one more topic here. In the Taisis right before this one, the Ibrahim Aslam and Ma'enes, Taisis discusses, according to the Ri, that perhaps Ein Lo Knas V'Lo Pita would mean by Ma'enes, that if, let's say, a Ma'enes means that a mother and brother married off this girl while she was young, and she reserves the right to refuse the marriage at any later date until she's Boya when she's a Gadol. Now, what if the husband would be Ma'anes or Mefata his wife while she's still married to him, and then she would refuse him later, so therefore it would be revealed to Mafreya that it wasn't his wife. That perhaps would have been the scenario where we would be Mechayev him Oynes Upitur. In other words, again, she was married to him either Abonon until she was Memayin, and he was Ma'anes her during that time. So since retroactively we uprooted the Kedushin, so therefore he wasn't really married to her at that time, and that would be a case of Oynes Upitur. So the question is, why indeed would we say Ein Lo Knas V'Ein Lo Pitoy? It's actually such a great case that maybe there should be Knas, because now that it's retroactively not his wife, we should say that he's Chayav in Knas. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wants to say, explain this place as Alpi, the Reb Chaim in Sefer, that Reb Chaim says in Hilchos Ishus Perek Beis Halacha Tes, a famous concept that even though Mion is oiker the Kedushin l'mafreya, in other words, retroactively, it's as if they were never married. However, it's only mikano l'havol l'mafreya. It's only from here on in, we consider it as if they were never married retroactively. But at the actual time when it was going on, it was not really a marriage. Whether we say that the Taisis means like the Reb Chaim or not is not so important, but one thing we can definitely learn from this whole thing is that the bia that was going on while they were married before the mian took place is a marriage relationship, and therefore it would not be classified as oynes and mefata, because lemaisa they were married at that time. So even though retroactively that was uprooted, we will not take it away from the status of marriage to the extent that we will make it into maisa's nus. Now, that being said, I used to wonder when the Gemara says in Yevamot Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph with regard to mian that ino the maisa bilas nus, Why would you say Eino d'maisa bilasa bilasnus with regard to Mian? Why at the time that they are actually married, they're really married? So even though later on it might be retroactively uprooted, but it's not called a bilasnus. So it could be that even according to Reb Chaim, that it existed then, it's not a bilasnus. It's called a bilasnus, excuse me, because at the time that you're doing a marriage, which is possibly temporarily, perhaps that can also be termed as a bilasnus, because it's not forever, it's not eternal, it's not like a regular marriage. So yes, there might be a marriage going on. However, since it's going to be uprooted, and retroactively as well, even if it's only mikanel aval mafreh, certainly if it's really retroactively, so then there's nothing left of it, so it's easier to understand why it's a bilasnus. But obviously it's not going to be a kasha on the Reb Chaim, because even if it's a ishus b'shas maisa, and when it's retroactively uprooted, it's only from the time that she refuses and on that we look at it that way, but nevertheless, it might still be able to be termed a bilasnus. But again, getting back to our tosfos, whether you say that it's uprooted only mikana lavo, and therefore it's a good ishus, or even if you don't say that and you say that it's retroactively completely uprooted, but at the time that it was being done, it was not being done out of the baseline of marriage, that would already be enough to say that it's not.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.